Good evening, dear friends. If you have your Bible here with you this evening, go ahead and take it out, please, and go over into your New Testament to the Gospel of Matthew. Please take out your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we are going to be reading a lot of verses tonight in the Bible. It's going to be a lot of Bible in this lesson, so it would serve us all well to make sure we have a copy of the Bible in front of you, because we are going to be having a lot of important verses to consider in our lesson tonight. As you turn there and get ready to study tonight, let me just say how good it is for us to be together tonight to praise our God, to study from His Word, to sing praises to His glorious name, and to talk with Him as a family through prayer. It's good to have visitors here. It's good to have more of our friends from Bedford here tonight. Nan and Pop, we call them. Andy and Curls, you may know them as. They're here with us tonight, and we're just so glad. They've been our dear friends for a very long time, and we are so happy to see them tonight, as well as all of you who have come here tonight, especially visitors. If you are visiting with this good church, I know I can speak on behalf of this congregation when I say you're among friends. God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening. Before we get into our lesson, I want to remind you that tomorrow night, if the Lord wills, we will have the outlines available to you in paper format for every lesson that's been taught over this gospel meeting series. Every point, every verse that's been used, that will be made available to you tomorrow night. That'll be my gift to you at the conclusion of the gospel meeting tomorrow. Well, as we transition now into our lesson, I want us to begin by thinking about something. If I were to ask you this evening to list some of your favorite topics that we can read Jesus preaching about in the Bible, I'm curious to know what you would put on that list. If you're like me, then I'm pretty sure that you would put on your list topics like love, right? You probably put topics like love and faith and forgiveness and compassion and grace and the need to be a servant and maybe even the Beatitudes that we can read about in the Sermon on the Mount. Brothers and sisters, all of those are great topics that Jesus preached about in His ministry. But let me ask you this now. Let me ask you about hell. What about hell? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, do you also like the sermons that Jesus preached about hell? I ask you that question because whether you know it or not, Jesus did preach about hell. Jesus actually preached about hell a lot. In fact, the word Gehenna that is usually translated as hell in the New Testament is found there 11 times, and 10 of those times, guess who is used by? 10 of those times is used by Jesus. Again, Jesus preached about hell. Jesus actually preached more about hell than any other preacher in the Bible. It's not even close. Jesus actually preached more about hell than He did about heaven. You see, according to Jesus, hell is a real place. It is not some place made up by preachers just used to scare people. It is not some metaphor or figure of speech in the Bible. It is not some figment of man's imagination. No, according to Jesus, hell is real. Hell is a real place. Hell actually exists, and a lot of people are going to end up there. That's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that hell is real, and it's important that I emphasize that to you because, brothers and sisters, you examine what is preached, being preached in pulpits across the country these days, and you might be quick to believe the opposite. You see, today in our time, you might be quick to think that there's really no such place called hell. You might be quick to think that because guess what? Not that many preachers are preaching about hell today. Not that many preachers are talking about hell today. Not that many preachers are willing to sit down with people and show people what the Bible has to say about this place. Very few preachers, they talk about hell today. And probably the main reason why many preachers don't preach about hell is because, let's just be honest about it, for many people, they don't want to hear about hell. I mean, it's not a big secret that in our time today, preaching about hell is viewed with disdain. It's actually viewed as ignorant and backward kind of thinking. It's actually looked down upon by a lot of people. You see, instead of hearing preaching about hell in our time today, what a lot of people want when they come to church is they want to have their egos stroked. That is, they want to come to church and just feel good about themselves. They want to feel good about their lives, and they don't want to hear anything negative or anything that would even remotely cause them to question their lifestyles. You see, for a lot of people, if they could have one subject removed from the Bible, it would be this subject right here. In fact, I like what C.S. Lewis once said about this. C.S. Lewis, the famous author, wrote this about hell. He said, quote, "There is no doctrine that I would more willing remove from Christianity than this if it lay within my power. But it has the full support of Scripture, especially of our Lord's own words." I really like what he says there. I really like that, and if you don't mind, I would like to take what he says to an even higher level. I would like to add to that by saying that if there was one subject that I could avoid preaching about in the Bible, it would be this subject right here. I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. It does not, and it has never excited me to preach about hell. When I was getting ready to preach this lesson tonight, I didn't go, woohoo, I'm going to talk about hell. That's never done that for me. I get way more excited talking about the love of God and the grace of God and forgiveness and compassion and talking about heaven. I get way more excited talking about that stuff than I do talking about hell. But let me tell you something. My commitment to you and my commitment to God and my commitment to King Jesus in the ministry is not just to preach parts of the Bible. It's not just to preach the parts of the Bible that I like or prefer or the parts that is going to make us just feel good and warm and fuzzy inside. No, my commitment to God and to you and the ministry is to preach all the Bible. It is to preach the whole counsel of God. It is to preach the parts that make us feel good and warm and nice and fuzzy inside. And also the parts that are supposed to terrify us. Also the parts that God wants to put some godly fear in our hearts. You see, as a preacher of the gospel, I have to do this. As a preacher of the gospel, I have to preach all that's in the Bible. I have to preach the whole counsel of God. I have to do that because at the end of the day, I'm accountable to God before I am to you. At the end of the day, I'm accountable to Jesus before I am anyone else. You see, if I'm not willing to preach all that the Bible has to say, then I might as well quit doing this work and really go find something else to do with my life. I'm actually doing more harm than good. If I'm not willing to preach everything that the Bible has to say, then I might as well quit this ministry and go and be a sport broadcaster or go and sell refrigerators at Sears. I don't need to be a preacher if I'm not willing to preach the whole counsel of God. I don't need to be a preacher if I'm not willing to open up the Bible and share with people all that the Bible has to say. I don't need to be a preacher if I'm not willing to preach like Jesus. Again, Jesus preached a lot about hell. Jesus preached a lot about the grim reality surrounding this place. And if you don't mind, tonight in this lesson, I want to share with you a few of those grim realities. This evening in our lesson, I want to share with you a few things that Jesus really wants us to understand and keep in the forefronts of our minds when it comes to this place called hell. Tonight, I want us to answer a very important question, and that is, what did Jesus say about hell when he was on this earth 2,000 years ago? What did Jesus have to say about hell when he preached about this place to the people of his time? Well, if you don't mind, I want to share with you about three or four very important things that Jesus says about this place. And here's the first thing right here. The first thing that Jesus really wants us to understand about hell is, number one, Jesus wants us to understand that hell is horrible. Hell is absolutely horrible. This is something that I believe we really got to emphasize this evening. We really have to emphasize this point this evening because I got to tell you, for a lot of people in our society, for a lot of people in our culture, they actually joke about this. They actually joke about the possibility of going to hell. For example, for some people, they'll say things like this. They'll say, well, you know, I'd rather go to hell than go to heaven, because in hell, that's where all the cool people are going to be. That's where all the rock stars are going to be. That's where all the fun people are going to be. You ever heard someone say that before? Unfortunately, I hear people say that kind of stuff all the time. I hear people say that kind of stuff on numerous occasions, and I got to tell you, that's a very disturbing thing to me. That is a very disturbing thing to hear people joke about, because if people really understood or really believed what Jesus says about hell in the Bible, they would never do that. They would never joke about the possibility of going to this place. They would never make light of the possibility of spending any amount of time in this place. They would never do that, because Jesus says that hell is horrible. Jesus says that hell is a place that we wouldn't even want to spend 1 second in. That's one of the main things that Jesus wants us to understand about this place. Jesus wants us to understand that hell is an absolutely dreadful place. It is an awful place. It is a frightening place. And one of the reasons why it's awful and horrible and frightening is because, number one, he says it's a place of fire. It is a place of fire. And so are you in Matthew 25? Listen to verse 41. Listen to what Jesus says he's going to say to the wicked when they stand before him on the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41, Jesus says in verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal or everlasting fire, some of your translations say, into the everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice how Jesus says that hell is a place of fire. Do you see that? It's a place of fire. Now go to Mark chapter 9. Listen to Mark chapter 9. And remember, I'm reading from the New American Standard translation of the Bible. And in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 42. In Mark chapter 9 and verse number 42. Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it will be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. Verse 43, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell and to the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your 2 feet to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Do you get the point? Listen to what Jesus has to say about this place. Notice how, according to Jesus, hell is an extremely awful and horrible place because it is a place of fire. It is a place of fire prepared by God himself. It is a place of unquenchable fire. Talk about a frightening place. Well, let me ask you something. Do you want to live in a place of fire? I mean, what would you do today if your house caught on fire? If your whole house caught on fire, would you stay there in the fire? Would you look at the fire burn up your living room and go, hey, it looks kind of nice. I think I want to stay in here. It's going to keep me warm. Would you do something like that? You know you wouldn't. You know that if your house set on fire today, you would grab your family as quick as you could. You wouldn't even put any shoes on or anything. You would grab your family and you probably would jump right out of the window. You know you would do something like that. You would do that because nobody in their right mind wants to live in a place of fire. Nobody in their right mind wants to live in a place that's burning up, but that's exactly what Jesus says about hell. Jesus says that hell is a horrible place because it is a place that is burning up. It is a place of fire, but not only is it a place of fire, I want you to notice secondly how he says it's a place of outer darkness. It's a place of fire, and it's also a place of outer darkness. Go back to Matthew 25. Look at that text again very carefully. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41, Jesus says, and he also will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And then go up now to verse number 30. That's the wrong verse. Look at verse 30. We're going to go back to verse 41 in a second. Look at verse 30. If you remember the context of verse number 30, this is when Jesus told the parable of the talents. And when the master came home and found that slave, that one slave who didn't use his talent correctly, listen to what Jesus says in verse 30. Throw out the worthless slave until the what? Until the outer darkness. Notice how Jesus says that hell's a place of outer darkness. I want you to think about that for a second. It is a place of outer darkness. It is a place where there is absolutely no light. I mean, can you imagine living on this earth and you didn't have any light? Can you imagine if we didn't have any light in this room right now? Can you imagine living on the earth and you didn't have the sun and you didn't have the moon and you didn't have the stars? Can you imagine living in your home and you couldn't flip on the light switch or you couldn't open up the blinds or you couldn't turn on a lamp whenever it started getting dark in your living room? Can you imagine living in that? Can you imagine always living in the dark? That's what Jesus says about hell. Jesus says this place is horrible. Because it's a place of fire. It's a place of outer darkness. But look again at verse 30. Verse 30 again of chapter 25. Throughout that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there is what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here we find a third thing that makes hell so horrible. It is also a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Someone says, what does that mean? Well, that probably is referring to the agony and the pain and the suffering and even the regret that those wind up there experience because they died in their sins. Because they know they live lives where they rejected the will of God. This place is horrible because it's a place of darkness. And it's a place of fire. And it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then fourthly, I want you to also consider how this place is a bad place. Because a lot of bad people are going to be there. Jesus says that a lot of wicked people are going to be in hell. In fact, the most wicked being in the history of the world is going to be in this place. Go to chapter 25. This time I want to go to verse 41. Look at verse 41 again. Then he also will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice how in hell the devil's going to be there. Do you see that? The devil is going to be there with his angels. That's what Jesus says here. In fact, this is not the only place in the Bible that says this. I want us to now go to Revelation chapter 20. Look at Revelation chapter 20. The Bible makes it very clear that the devil's going to be in hell. And I want you to understand that contrary to what a lot of people may say, the devil's not going to be down there with a bunch of horns and a pitchfork and a long tail running the show. He's not going to be some supervisor of hell. He's not going to be some ruler or manager of hell. No, he's going to be suffering just like everybody else there. God's going to see to that. And look at Revelation 20 and verse number 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10, it says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire. Notice here how, again, we have the idea of fire. Here hell is called a lake of fire. And so the devil was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are also. And there they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Notice how the devil, he's not going to be running the show, is he? The Bible says he's going to be burning there and in torment day and night forever and ever. The devil's going to be suffering in hell. Now look at chapter 21 and verse 8. Chapter 21 and verse 8 of Revelation. Verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you to process that verse for just a moment. Let me ask you something. Do you want to wind up in a place with a bunch of people like that? I got to tell you, this is one of the main reasons why I never want to go to prison. In addition to not wanting to lose my freedom, in addition to not wanting to lose my ability to to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. I don't want to go to prison because I don't want to live around a bunch of bad people. I don't want to live around a bunch of people who, for the most part, have no respect for the law. I don't want to live around murderers. And I don't want to live around rapists and thieves and kidnappers and those who sell drugs. I don't want to live around people who, for the most part, have no problem doing that kind of stuff. And I'm pretty sure you don't want to live around those people either, do you? None of us want to be around people like that. But notice how the Bible says that's exactly what hell is going to be full of. Notice how, according to the Bible, hell is going to be full of a bunch of ungodly people. Hell is going to be full of a bunch of wicked people. It's going to be full of people who were murderers and who are immoral and who are liars and unbelieving, and they practice sorcery and idolatry. People who promote these kind of things and do these kind of things and die in their sins, they're going to be in this place along with the devil and his angels. That's horrible. Jesus says that hell is going to be full of a lot of bad people. This is going to be full of a lot of wicked people. But let me add to that by saying that beyond all of this stuff, beyond everything I've said so far, probably the worst thing about hell is not so much who is going to be there, but rather it is not who is going to be there. You see, the worst thing about hell is not that the devil is going to be there. It's not that a bunch of wicked people are going to be there. Instead, it's the fact that God is not going to be there. And so go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, because Jesus makes that point very clear. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 21. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 21, I believe here Jesus is describing a scene of the judgment day. And in Matthew 7, in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Notice how here Jesus tells us exactly who's going to go to heaven. Do you see it? Notice how, according to Jesus, the only people who are going to wind up in heaven are those who do something, are those who do the will of the Father, are those who do exactly what God says. Jesus says, if you do the will of the Father, you will go to heaven. But look at verse 22. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' And then I would declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart. Get away from me. Depart from me. You who practice lawlessness, or you who do works of iniquity.'" Notice how Jesus makes it very clear. And I believe here in this context, in verse 23, he's talking about hell. And notice how Jesus makes it very clear that hell is a place that is completely apart from God. It is a place where God is going to be 100% absent. God is not going to be there. Those who end up in hell, they will be completely separated from God and any part of his blessings. That's what the Lord says. And I got to tell you, that is very different than what we experience now on this earth, okay? You see, right now, both believers and unbelievers, both the righteous and the unrighteous, both disciples and wicked people, they get to experience so many blessings from God together. As Jesus says, the same rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. As Jesus says, the same sun rises on the evil and the good. You see, when it comes to the physical blessings of God, both the righteous and the wicked get to experience those things right now. We get to experience the physical blessings from God, whether we are believers or unbelievers. But in hell, it's not going to be that way. You see, in hell, any parts of God's blessings, they're going to be cut off. In hell, there's not going to be any sun or moon or stars or oxygen. There's not going to be any rain or light or hope or laughter or babies being born or people getting married or seasons or beautiful things to see and experience. You see, in hell, no longer will the wicked be able to enjoy the blessings of God while at the same time rejecting his will for their lives. They're not going to be able to do that in hell. Jesus says, in hell, God's not going to be there. No part of God or his blessings will be in this place. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, that has to be the worst part about hell. I told many of you a couple of days ago that I was able to go to Zimbabwe and Botswana, Africa, about a decade ago, a little over 10 years ago. And both of those places are ranked as some of the worst places to live on this planet. And both Zimbabwe and Botswana, in those places, there's hardly any clean water or any food or electricity or transportation, and the crime and disease. In both of those places, it's just plain outrageous. Both of those places are some of the worst places to live on the earth. But I gotta tell you, I'd rather spend a million years as the poorest person in both of those places than spend 1 minute in hell. I wouldn't want to spend 1 minute in hell, because according to Jesus, it's a horrible place. Jesus taught that hell is horrible. And then secondly, Jesus also taught that hell is a place we need to fear. Let me ask you something. What do you fear in your life? What do you fear? I'm going to tell you some things I fear. Even though I'm from the South, I fear snakes. I hate snakes, all snakes. I mean, if a snake ever got in my house, I probably would just let the house go. Just let it go back to the bank or whatever. I wouldn't mind if every snake got taken and put into a big box and shot into outer space. I can't stand snakes. I don't like snakes. I don't like mice, rats, roaches, spiders. I don't like frogs. There's a lot of things that I fear, and I'm pretty sure there are a lot of things you fear as well. There are a lot of things we're afraid of, but let me tell you something. Above anything else in this physical world, Jesus says we need to fear hell more than anything else. And I want to show you this from the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, Jesus said this. He says, do not fear those. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Notice how Jesus says that when it comes to hell, we need to fear it. Notice how in this verse we see exactly why Jesus talks so much about hell. Here in this verse we see exactly why Jesus takes so much time telling us why it's so awful. Again, notice how the main reason why Jesus spent so much time describing hell so vividly is because he wants us to fear it. He wants it to utterly terrify us. He wants us to be utterly terrified about the possibility of spending any amount of time in this place. He wants us to be utterly terrified of spending any amount of time in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and outer darkness, and fire and brimstone, and be in a place where the devil and his angels are going to be, and all the wicked are going to be. Jesus says we need to fear this place. We need to fear this place. And the reason why we need to fear this place is because when we really do, brothers and sisters, listen carefully, when we really have a legitimate fear of hell, then that's going to impact us. That's going to impact our choices. That's going to impact how we live our lives. That's going to motivate us to want to stay away from sin. And someone says, wait a minute, Sean, I don't agree with that. Somebody says, well, Sean, I thought our love for God should motivate us to do that. Someone says, I thought our love for God and Jesus, that is what should motivate us to want to stay away from sin. Well, my friend, let me tell you something. I agree with you. I agree with you. In fact, I want to take it up a notch. I want to say that I agree that our love for God and our respect for God should be the number one thing that motivates us to stay away from sin. I mean, above anything else, the number one reason why I should want to stay away from sinful behavior is because I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to hurt the God who loves me so much that 2,000 years ago, he gave me his best when I was at my worst. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son into this world to die on the cross for my sins. I should not want to hurt God with sin because I respect him and because I love him. That should be the number one motivation. But let me tell you something. Right behind that motivation is this one right here. Let me tell you something. If a love for God doesn't motivate you to stay away from sin, if a love for God doesn't motivate you to repent and get into the waters of baptism before you leave tonight, if you're not a Christian, if the love of God doesn't do that, then according to Jesus, a fear of hell should. According to Jesus, there is nothing wrong with turning to the living God because you are afraid of going to hell. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, 29 and 30. In Matthew 5 and verse number 29, listen to what Jesus says. He says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. He says, if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot we could say about those two verses right there. In fact, we could do a whole sermon just on those two verses. And I've done that sermon before. There's a lot here in these verses. But if you don't mind tonight, due to time, I just want to give you the main point. Tonight, I want to suggest that the main point Jesus is saying here is his main point is heaven, or hell rather, is bad. It is horrible. It is awful. And we should want to do whatever it takes not to end up there. That's his main point. His main point is hell is so awful. It is so horrible that it is better to go through life blind and having no hands and no feet and not even a tongue than to end up in this place. Jesus says that hell is horrible and we need to fear it. Jesus says that hell is horrible and we need to do whatever it takes to make sure we don't go there. Jesus says hell is awful. And it's a place we need to fear. But then thirdly, let me say this now. Thirdly, let me also say that according to Jesus, a lot of people are going to end up here. A lot of people are going to end up here. And I know that's a radical thing to say in our time today. I understand that this is something where for a lot of people, they just miss it when it comes to the ministry of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that when it came to the preaching of Jesus, when you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when it came to the preaching of Jesus, he had no problem looking people right in their eyes and telling them when they were not living right. He had no problem looking people right in their eyes and telling them when they were currently on a path to hell. Our Lord never shied away from telling people the truth. Our Lord was always very honest and straightforward when it came to the issue of sin, when it came to the issue of people on their way to hell. For example, in Matthew 22. In Matthew chapter 22, if you remember there in that text, Jesus told a parable. He told a parable about this king who invited a bunch of people to a wedding feast. And when these people got there to the wedding feast, he noticed that there were a lot of people in the crowd who had on the wrong kind of clothes. They were not dressed in proper attire. And so what did the king do? Well, Jesus says the king took those people and he punished them. He actually had them thrown into a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. There the Lord is talking about hell. There the Lord is saying that those who are not faithful to God, they're going to be cast into hell. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 22. Now go over to the next chapter, Matthew 23. Because in Matthew 23, Jesus emphatically told the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, Jesus told them emphatically that their hearts were not right with God and they were on a path to hell. Listen to what he says in Matthew 23 and verse number 15. In Matthew 23 and verse 15, Jesus says, "What are you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites?" Notice how Jesus called these men hypocrites right to their face. He says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, to convert Gentiles to Judaism. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Notice how Jesus says these men were sons of hell. Now look down at verse 33. Verse 33 of the same chapter. He's still talking to the scribes and Pharisees. And he says, "You serpents, you brood of vipers." The word "brood" there means offspring. Basically, he's telling these men that your ancestors or your parents were snakes, and you're snakes also. You're snakes just like your ancestors. you serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Notice how Jesus looked these men right in their eyes. And he told them they were on a path to hell. He told them at that moment they were not living right. And they were on a path to be lost forever. Go now back to Matthew chapter 25. Look at verse 41 again. Matthew 25, 41. Don't miss the principle being established here. Matthew 25, 41. On the judgment day, there are going to be some people on the left. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me. Get away from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. There we see some people going to end up in hell. Look at verse 46 now. In verse 46, we learn some more about that. It says, these will go away into eternal or everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal or everlasting life. Do you see the point? Jesus is saying some people are going to end up in hell. Some people are going to end up in this horrible place on the judgment day. In fact, not only will some people end up in this place, but according to Jesus, most people are going to end up in this place. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are, notice, many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few. There are few who find it. What is Jesus teaching there? Well, there Jesus is saying that on the judgment day, there are going to be more people lost than saved. There are going to be more people hell-bound than heaven-bound. Brothers and sisters, if that's not what Jesus is teaching there, then I don't have a clue what he is teaching. Jesus says more people are going to be lost than saved. There's a lot of the verses we consider when it comes to this, but I think you get the point. I think you can see that contrary to what many people may believe and say today, and contrary to the vibe you get at most funerals you go to today, hell is not going to be empty. Hell is not going to be empty. According to Jesus, there are going to be a lot of people in this place. In fact, we need to understand tonight that we could end up in this place. We need to understand tonight that we will end up in this place if we reject the will of God and die in our sins. If we don't do what God says in our lives, this is where we are going to be. That's what the scripture says. And I think that's something we need to think about more than we probably do. You know, on a daily basis, multiple times throughout the day, especially whenever I'm tempted to sin, I need to pause for a moment or two and just rehearse in my mind what Jesus says about hell. I need to pause for a moment or two and consider how Jesus says that hell is real. And it is awful. It is terrible. It is scary. It is a place completely apart from the love of God. And if we will end up there, I will end up there if I don't live right. That's what the scripture says. Jesus says that hell is horrible. And it's a place that we need to fear. And it's a place where most people are going to end up. But then fourth and finally tonight, I want to say this. A fourth thing we need to understand about hell is it is forever. It is forever. Going back to Mark chapter 9 and verse 44. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 44, remember there Jesus says that hell's a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Remember that? He says that in verse number 44 and in verse 46 and in verse number 48. Jesus says the fire is not quenched. It never goes out. I don't care how many firemen you have or how many water hoses you may have. Nothing will put out the fire of hell. And then we go back one more time to what we just read in Matthew 25 again. I know I've read this verse several times, but there's a reason I've been doing that. Going back to Matthew 25, 41, verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, until the what? Eternal or everlasting fire. There it is again. Drop down to verse 46 of the chapter. In verse 46 it says, these will go away into what? Eternal or everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. You know, as Christians, we often sing a song called Amazing Grace. Y'all know that song, right? It's one of my favorite songs. It's a classic. Often we sing the song Amazing Grace. In fact, probably my favorite verse in the song goes like this. I won't sing it, so don't worry about that. But I'll just read the words. It goes, when we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Those are some beautiful words. And let me ask you, what are they talking about? What are those words talking about? Well, we know what they're talking about. We know that those words are talking about eternity in heaven. They're talking about eternity living with God in his house. You see, as Christians, we believe that, don't we? As Christians, we believe that when we get to heaven one day, we are going to be there forever. As Christians, we believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to have a permanent residence. We're not going to have to worry about God kicking us out or evicting us or saying it's time to get out of here. No, we believe that when we get to heaven, we are going to be there forever. We believe that because of what Jesus says. Jesus says we're going to receive eternal life. We believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be there forever. But on the flip side of that, let me say this. Just like the Bible promises heaven forever to those who love the Lord, it also promises hell forever for those who reject the Lord. You see, if we really believe that heaven is going to last forever, then to be consistent, we also got to believe that hell is going to last forever. We also got to believe that because the same Jesus who made that promise about heaven, he also made it about hell. Jesus says that those who end up in hell, they're going to be there forever. They're never going to leave. And that's something we got to always be mindful of. We got to always be mindful of the fact that according to Jesus, hell is forever. It goes on and on and on and on. Those who end up there, they're never going to leave. They're never going to be with God. They're never going to receive any relief from this horrible place created for the devil and his angels. That's what Jesus has to say about this dreadful place. And again, it's not easy to preach on this. It's not easy. But it is my hope and my prayer that these things we've rehearsed together will not only resonate in our hearts, but more importantly, I hope that this lesson will impact our choices. I hope that this lesson will motivate us to be the real deal when it comes to being disciples. I hope this lesson will motivate us to want to serve Jesus with all our hearts, to always do exactly what he says, so we can make sure that when we die, we can avoid existing in this terrible place. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to go to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want anybody in this room to go to hell. And I thank God that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago and died on the cross so we don't have to go there. I thank God that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago and died on the cross and was raised from the dead in order to save us from hell. Because of what Jesus did, not because of anything we do, not because we can earn it, but because of what Jesus has done, we don't have to end up in this place. Jesus has done his part to save us from this terrible place, but we got to make sure we do our part, don't we? We got to make sure we serve him with all our hearts. And so maybe there's somebody here tonight, and as you've been hearing this lesson, maybe the fear of God has been put in your heart. Maybe you know you have not been living right. Maybe you're not a Christian. You know you haven't been living right. You know you haven't obeyed the gospel, and you're tired of that. You want to make sure that you can avoid the horrors of hell when you die. If that describes you tonight, then I want you to know you're in the right place at the right time on this evening. I want you to know that tonight the water is ready. God is ready. The angels are ready to celebrate. I want you to know that tonight you can be saved from this place. If you will believe in Jesus Christ, believe he's the Son of God, believe he's the Lord, believe he's the Christ, believe he died on the cross for your sins and was raised from the dead. Repent of your sins. Turn away from whatever sins you're harboring in your life. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and then be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you will do those things tonight, the Lord will save you and he will add you to his body of saved people. You can avoid that. You can avoid hell tonight. And you're a Christian and you know you haven't been living right. You know you have not been living according to the standard of Jesus Christ. You know, even though you were a Christian, if you died tonight or if the Lord came back tonight, you wouldn't be ready for eternity. If that describes someone here tonight who's a disciple, you're also in the right place at the right time. If you're willing to repent of your sin, confess your sin, and have us pray with you and pray for you, the Lord will forgive you and cleanse you. And you can leave here right with the Lord. And on a path to receive what Jesus died to give you. And so if there's someone here tonight who needs to respond to the gospel in any way at all, we're going to sing a song and invite you to come. Let us stand. Let us sing.